Hey, what's up, guys? That's right, Nerd Soul here. Get ready for the podcast, breaking down what happened in your week of geek. Doesn't matter if it's movies, comic books, TV shows, we're going to get right into it. So I ain't going to waste your time. Let's do this. Thumbnails. That's right. We're talking about animation today. If you draw it and put it on the screen, that is what it's about. And we've got a little Disney news that passed by me. It seems like Lucasfilm has been working, like they said a little bit last year, on a new animated series, because we're gonna be getting into what we know of course, Star Wars Resistance. And after getting into the news, I'm on the fence. There's some good, there's some bad, there's a little bit of ugly, and we're gonna try to touch on it all. First up, this is gonna be an anime style kind of show. It's gonna have some anime flavor to it, and it's gonna lead up to the events of course, The Force Awakens. Now, I know what you guys are already thinking, why are we playing in the same time, space, whatever, still? I'm not sure I feel about that, but give me a second, I'm trying to fix it for y'all. It's going to be headed up, of course, once again, by Dave Filoni. Aha, see, you didn't know that was coming, did you? Well, okay, you probably knew that was coming. But anyway, the good is, yo, check it. It's headed up by Dave Filoni. We've trusted him with the Clone Wars series, which was incredible. We've trusted him with Rebels, which, you know, it's not always my favorite, but there are some great episodes in there. And there's some great stories in there. And I think that he has a real grasp on just how to tell stories in Star Wars, how to balance out Rebels, how to balance out, the Empire, how to balance out Jedi, how to kind of go through the lore. So that's the good. The bad about this is that we're in this timeline leading up to The Force Awakens. I really wish we had another timeline, or I really wish that we were, I don't know, somewhere else, you know, just not dealing with these direct ties to the movies. I would like to see more freedom by going either in the future, like I said, talking about Valiant with 4001 AD, or going way back in the past with something like Knights of the Old Republic. But, you know, it's not super bad. It's just a little bit bad. In this one, you don't have to worry because there is no ugly at all. So word on the street is this going to follow a young pilot by the name of Kazuda Ziano. And I hope I'm not screwing up that name. I think that's how you say it. And it's going to be based on Dave Filoni's kind of idea on World War II pilots, you know, when they were in dogfights and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that this has kind of like an aesthetic, like, you know, flyboys and, you know, some camaraderie and, you know, kind of doing their thing, because this pilot is going to be tasked with spying on the growing First Order. Now, there's some ugly about this. The ugly about this is this might pigeonhole the story, but hopefully not. I'm sure they'll be creative enough to make this work. But if not, it could be very, very one note and very monochromatic. But the good thing about this is dogfights. Yo, anime style with dogfights? Are you kidding me? Do you remember the anime that dude put out on YouTube about the Empire and the, you know, the rebels fighting and stuff? That was super cool. And you should definitely check that out when you get a chance. But I'm getting that vibe. Well, at least on the inside, you know, I'm thinking it would get that vibe of like dogfights and sneaking around and, you know, cloaking or whatever, doing whatever you gotta do and flying the best flight you can fly. So that's the great thing. The bad thing is I'm worried that this Kasudo guy or girl might have the same kind of attitude as all the like the plucky young kids that they usually put on these Disney Channel or Disney XD shows. Just like when we first meet Ahsoka or when we first meet Ezra, they have this kind of like, just kind of bad attitude and kind of like almost douchey air about them that just, it just grates on me. But hopefully that's not what's going to happen. We're going to see cool flights. We're going to see cool action. And, you know, hey, the more the merrier, man. Do some like flippies and go down and under and like turn your flight around and then shoot somebody and things blowing up. That could be really cool, especially with a flavor of anime on top of it. I think it could look real slick. Now, there's a couple of other things that we got to get to, but of course, as always, Kuro Brand is going to help us pay them bills. gear. Check the link below. Hat, shirts, hoodies, all that jazz. And once you find something you like, of course, cop it. Now, another statement from your boy Dave Filoni is that this will be great because telling stories from an animated perspective, you know, the storytelling possibilities are almost endless. And I agree, I think that's great. And then he leads on to tell us and let us know that Oscar Isaac will be, you know, doing the voice for Poe Dameron. Gwendolyn Christie will be doing the voice for Captain Phasma. So we know Poe Dameron and Phasma will be in there. Also, they say that BD-8 will be heavily featured in this. So the good about this is that we're actually getting the actors that, you know, play the role to actually do the voices. It helps connect us more and ground us more in the lore and the story and keep us engaged. The bad about this is that you said that storytelling, you know, like the storytelling, you know, possibilities are endless, but they're not endless, or you're not treating them like they're endless, because we already had, you know, the events leading up to Force Awakens, and now we're just telling it again. And not saying we're telling the same stories. What I mean is we're going back to that same time. We're going back to that same well. I would like to go further and expand outward, you know, into other timelines and to see what happened with those people. So that's the bad. The ugly is the BB-8 thing. And I know people love BB-8. I think BB-8's cool too. Did you see what he did in Last Jedi? Homie is boss. He is the MVP. But when they say heavily featured, I'm wondering if this is gonna skew very hard to the comedic side. And I know that's great for kids and that's what this is made for. And this is why I was wondering or wishing that they would do maybe 2 animated series or maybe possibly even 3, because there are fans that love animation that are older. But I know you wanna keep the kids, because in America, of course, animation is usually made for the children, but for the adults, we like animation too. So maybe I would like to see maybe like an animated series that's more geared towards kids, BB-8 heavily featured, and then, you know, an animated series that's for, you know, maybe older teens and adults, something like maybe like Young Justice. This, you know, a little, it's not inaccessible for kids, but it doesn't play up the role for, you know, an android like BB-8. So I don't know how I feel about that. I'm hoping that it turns out well, but I have this nagging suspicion they're gonna try to get corny on you. And with all that said, the last good thing is that, of course, it's coming this fall. So you don't really have that long to wait, man. It's gonna be here very soon. By the time y'all going back to school, it's gonna be on. Well, let's be honest. Just because we say fall don't mean it's not gonna be late fall. They might do that joint like the day before winter or something. But hopefully, when they say fall, they mean fall. Like, we understand fall, like fall semester. Like, we'll be seeing this like late September, maybe early October at the latest. But that's good. It'll be on Disney Channel here in the States, Disney XD everywhere else. And that's another thing. Disney Channel is a little softer than Disney XD. So I'm wondering how it'll look, but we'll see then. So guys, holler at me. I'm gonna holler at you. Down in the comments, let's talk about Flyboys. Let's talk about these ships and dogfights. Let's talk about what your favorite, you know, spaceship is inside of the Star Wars canon. Of course, we're talking about the wonderful, the illustrious, the bulletproof love himself, Luke Cage. And before we get started on this trailer, I just want to say how good it is to see a bulletproof brother on screen. We might not get it in life, but at least we get it somewhere. Anyway, this trailer starts off with flames, literally, you know what I'm saying? Blowing up stuff, trying to take your boy out. Luke Cage like, yo, what what you thought? You thought fire hurt me? Huh? Yo, I love the flow, the swag that, you know, Luke Cage got, you know what I'm saying? He's feeling himself right now, and it's a good thing. He's like, I got this. Yeah. Even when he's playing to the camera, like, you know who I am? Come and find me. Boom, hit him with the hoodie. Like, yo, he's on his G right now. And, you know, beating up people left and right, walking the streets, got coffee, you know what I'm saying? Ladies turn around, looking at him like, oh, snap. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's living for the city. But, unfortunately, see, there's some loose ends from season one. And there's someone new. And, of course, when we see that someone new, homie hits him with the illest two-piece and a biscuit. He's like Eddie from Tekken in this joint. Homie hit him with that clit-ow, and then hit him with that, I can't do the other flip, the other kick, but He hit him with a backwards spinny, like a capoeira joint. And yo, Luke Cage took a slight L. All right, a slight L. You know, it's kind of like when you're pretty cool and everything's going well, and you just, you know, you slip up just a little bit. And the bad thing about this is that it was on a grand scale where everybody could see. Like, dude, you got semi-waxed, all right? You ain't get a full beat down, but you got semi-waxed on camera. Honestly, I like that because we have someone who's gonna have to struggle with some pride, maybe a little bit of loss, some embarrassment as well. Because see, in season one, we dealt with someone who was just, you know, kind of, I guess, coming into his own, trying to figure out what his place was, what he was gonna do, and then also reconnecting to a certain degree with some family, but then also having to lose said family amongst just a ball of confusion with, you know, dirty politics, you know, gangsters and stuff like that. So we dealt with kind of like the rising of a hero or a rising of a star, and then having to deal with the part of just being a man of, oh snap, the sins of my father have come back to, of course, bite me in the butt. But now in this season, it seems like we're going to be dealing with someone who has to tie up those loose ends from season one, and also someone who's going to have to deal mentally with where he's at. You know, because being so untouchable, being like the man of Harlem, like Harlem is mine, I protect Harlem, and then being kind of like knocked off that pedestal, how is that going to deal with his psyche? How is that going to deal with, you know, his view of himself and his view of himself in this world we call Harlem? Yeah, I stuck it in there, Harlem world. So before we move on, of course, Kiro Brand is going to help us pay them bills. Yeah, check that link below. Hat, shirts, hoodies, all that jazz. And once you find something you like, of course, cop it. So, the loose ends is something that I really loved. And actually, I remember talking to Markia about this loose end and Alfre Woodard's character. Black Mariah is someone who I think is really dope, who I think is someone that should be around for a long time. I feel like she is the kind of villain that we can love to hate. Because Alfre Woodard as an actress is just, she's got so much charisma. She just like commands eyeballs when she's on the screen. So I don't want her to just be, you know, taken out super fast. And I think that's why they kind of like ushered her out in season one, because they were like, look, she's too dope of an actress to just be getting rid of. You know, we already got rid of Cottonmouth. We can't get rid of another dope actor too. So it's like, I like her being in an untouchable position where Luke Cage just can't punch his way out of that situation. And we see Shades like that chocolate. I mean, who doesn't? But I'm just saying, you know, Shades is back, so we don't know what kind of dirty, sneaky stuff he gonna be getting into, but those loose ends are gonna bite Luke Cage square right in betwixt his cheeks, because he should have handled that in season one, and he didn't, and he's probably gonna pay for it. As far as the new, you know, Bushmaster character, I'm into this. I'm into seeing, you know, the mixture of mysticism and voodoo. And speaking of that, on another tip, this could be a spoiler. You know what? I'm not gonna talk about Avengers. I'll leave that alone. I'll just say that I've always wanted to write the character of Brother Voodoo, but I would just drop the brother and just call it Voodoo. I think that could be dope. I think the MCU could use a character right like him right now to help out. I think that's the best way I can say that. But back to Bushmaster, I like the mixture between kind of like this voodoo aspect, also kind of like the mysticism and how Luke Cage will have to play with that, because that's kind of out of his range, out of his, you know, scope of, you know, knowledge. And I mean, we know that, unfortunately, Iron Fist will be in here somewhere, but hopefully Iron Fist will tell him, you know, teach him how to, you know, throw some hands, even though Iron Fist should be the last one teach him how. Maybe we need Colleen Wing, bring her in. She can help him learn how to throw hands, because We ain't gonna go there. So I know you guys saw the trailer. I'm sure there's tons of stuff that you saw in there and you love, like hearing Eric B and Rakim or M.O.P. Just make sure to holler at me. I'm gonna holler at you. Down in them comments, let's talk about, of course, Luke Cage. I can't wait to check it out. I know there's some people that have already checked it out. There's gonna be some people that's checking it out this weekend. Kind of hating on y'all, low key, but I'm glad you get to see it. Now, today we're breaking down a manga that is coming to us by way of the creators of course, Giallo Gumbo. And I'm so excited to give it to you. Right now, it's still on a Kickstarter. And full disclosure, I have been quoted in this in the best way to quote me possible, which is, oh yeah. But when I saw this, I had to make sure I brought it to y'all because we are fast approaching the end, and that is Cuba Delicia. Yep, that's it, you heard it right. Just so you can get it together, Cuba Delicia. Yes, that's it, that's how you pronounce it. And what got me is that this has a flavor of like Gotcha Man, DBZ, Voltron, some kind of like Guyver, and placed in an Afrocentric flavor where you have Africans, Afro-Latinos, African-Americans, Afro-Asiatics, Aztecs, all of that coming from all over the world into Africa, because in this future, people are dying fast, nations are dying fast, and the world's resources are being depleted super fast. And they're trying to figure out a way to save said world. And honestly, the first thing that even grabbed me was the idea that this was kind of like, you know, the anime style from old school infused with that new flavor set with some Afrocentricity and the folklore surrounded around it. And that art, man, that art looks crazy fresh. If you've seen Giallo Gumbo, then you know this is no exception. Straight up, the art, the coloring is top notch. And I can't wait to see this. Like, you know, I'm so rooting for this because not only do we have a situation where there's a dying world, not only do we have a situation where it's like kind of people have to muster up what they have left of their resources, but everyone coming home to Africa, especially from the African diaspora all around all of the slave trades and coming back together to create a brand new nation to kind of try to rejuvenate or, you know, bring a resurgence to the earth is really dope to me. I think you have some great art and then you have a lot of cool lore that you can really get into. And some of that lore is like this weird fantasy sci-fi kind of stuff. Like you have this world where, you know, of course, it's the future. So the world, there's been wars going on, pollution, all kinds of craziness. And so since we've been doing the earth dirty, the earth decides to do us dirty and it starts to crumble around us on purpose. It starts to work against us. And I just love the fact that after it's doing its thing and we're doing our thing, there are only really five nations left of real resources left. Now there's some cool stuff I want to get to next. And of course, you know, we're going to get into some more of that art and some fighting things. But of course, Kuro Brand is going to help us pay them bills. Yeah, check that link below, hats, shirts, hoodies, all that jazz. And once you find something you like, of course, cop it. So I want to get into this kind of like alien invasion part. There's a, you know, of course, a space mission. They bring back this stuff called Illudium. And Illudium is this kind of like, I guess you could say mineral, if you would, that, you know, allows you to manifest it in many different ways. And it's got the ability to save the Earth, of course. But see, the Illudium has been taken from somewhere way out there. And those people way out there, they want it back. And the thing I really love is that now, not only do we have wars, pollution, the Earth turning against its own, you know, its organisms on its own, you know, planet surface, but you also have an impending alien invasion. You have these kids coming together, being fused with this Illudium called the Numa Children. And there's just so much lore to get in, so much deepness. The further reaching aspects of this are just so cool to me. You know, like sci-fi, a good part of sci-fi should be weird. And I think this has the right amount of weirdness, coolness, sci-fi, action, kind of fantasy aspect where I'm just ready to see this. You have the kids, the Numa children being trained in ninjutsu tactics to be able to handle the wars and handle the, you know, the alien invasion. You have this amazing art. You have this dying world that they're trying to save. You have the kind of like Afrocentric folklore where they're trying to bring back the diaspora and come together. There's so much cool stuff to love. And guys, I just wanted to let y'all know about it. So of course, holler at me. I'm gonna holler at you down in them comments. Check out that link. Let me know what you think about Cuba Delicia. Yeah, that's right. You gotta say it fast. Or you can be like Cuba Delicia. Oh yeah, we're coming with another wonderful episode of Movie Reviews, and we're talking about the awesome follow-up to, of course, the first film with the titular character, Deadpool. And first, I want to give a big shout out because we have a cool episode today. We got a special guest coming up later. Also want to give a shout out to Ryan Reynolds himself, who liked my tweet where Mark B. Donica and I are talking about how much fun we had in this film. And I'm sure you guys are interested because you clicked that link. So let's ask a couple questions. And the first question is it funny? Yes. If you like the first movie, if you love that humor, it is back in spades. This movie, it uses humor in such just a magnificent way. It's of course, the humor is dirty and it's rated R humor, but it is funny. You stay laughing all the way through, from belly laughs to like the little giggly laughs. And then they're like, ooh, that's kind of messed up and wrong, but I still think it's a little funny kind of laughs. And it just ties in very well to kind of the character building of Deadpool and the kind of person he is, how he deals with life, how he maneuvers his relationships. And yes, the answer is just super yes, it is funny. Another question that I figure we should answer in here is, well, is it well written? The answer there is another yes. I gotta give it to, just beyond the jokes, the interactions seem like normal ways people would either respond to Deadpool or respond, or Deadpool would respond to them. The kind of like the engagements seem natural. And I mean, of course, where Deadpool, you know, resides, the movie is crazy. It's balls to the wall, literally. But you know, it seems natural and normal. It seems like this is a very good progression from the first film. And even the way they kind of maneuver through the storyline, it keeps it fun and light while also letting these characters grow a little bit. So I love how we interact with the characters, how they interact with each other. So I gotta say, yeah, the writing, it's on point. Which leads us to, of course, how's the direction? Because remember, they changed directors, and a lot of people, there might have been a little dust kicked up about the direction and how it might have been. And people are wondering, you know, like, well, how's it directed, man? Is it sluggish? You know, what's the pacing? Is it up and down? Is it a roller coaster? Is it plotting? You know, what's the deal? And this movie keeps you moving. The way the cinematography is handled, the way the, you know, the shots are pulled off, the lighting, and also just the pacing of the action and the comedy and kind of like the gripping moments themselves keep you moving, keep you kind of at a steady pace where you don't feel like you're rushing through things and you don't get to learn stuff. And also where you don't feel like I'm bored and what's going on. They just have a good job of kind of handling who Deadpool is and who he is to other people. There are a couple of parts in the movie that, you know, kind of like might hang around too long, but you'll see that they hang around too long to come right back to serve you up proper. So I have to give some love to the direction because I was one of those people that was wondering if maybe kind of some of the luster of Deadpool may have fell, you know, from the first film since it wasn't the same direction. But I feel that this one is definitely a solid follow-up. Now, before we get to the special guest and all that cool stuff that we got going on, first, Cure Brand gonna help us pay them bills. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Check that link below. Hat, shirts, hoodies, all that jazz. And once you find something you like, of course, cop it. So the last question is really, what that action about? And this movie has blood, bullets, swords, explosions. If you thought the first movie had action, this one, it ratchets it up. But it doesn't ratchet up in a way where it's like, we're just gonna show you how much money we have. It keeps it moving and it keeps this action meaningful. Even if the meaning is to just make you laugh, there is some funny action in here. There's some serious stuff in here. There's some very showy moments too, but they always work in the kind of world that Deadpool has built. You know, like this kind of part of the cinematic franchise that, you know, Fox has with the X-Men and all that stuff. You know, Deadpool's little corner, just his world, when you get in his world, like, you know how you know some people and it seems like there's just a tornado following them. Well, Deadpool has a tornado of just comedy, bullets and blood, and just funny random jokes following him. And the action here, from the choreography to the way it's cut, the way it's displayed, it's just, it's a marvel to see. And the reason I, you know, pun intended, huh? But the way they pull it off is so cool, especially coming off of something like Avengers Infinity War, to see something that's this, you know, this specific to one character still be so showy and so enjoyable. I gotta give it some love for that too. Now, I'm gonna come back with my score in just a moment because you know I got to give it some love on the star rating. But first, of course, we're gonna check in with my boy, Mark B. Deasy.
What's up, Nerd Soul viewers? This is Mark B. Donica. Thank you very much, Michael, for letting me join you on the first of hopefully many screenings with Nerd Soul. Deadpool 2, wow. It was a lot. It was a very different glass of water than Avengers Infinity War was, but I think that there was enough comic book goodness in it to really enjoy. Similar things that I never thought I would see on screen were happening right in front of me. The violence is just as hardcore as it was in the first movie. The soundtrack, killer. There were a lot of callbacks to jokes and joke types from the first movie, and there were no character reintroductions, so I'd say that way it does feel like a legit sequel where, oh, I remember that character from the first movie, I remember that character from the second movie, and it's not like we're meeting these characters all over again. I like the themes. It was a solid watch and definitely one that I'm going to see again in the theaters, and I highly recommend everybody else does as well, but that's the most I could say right now, because it's a mile a minute, a laugh a minute, a dismemberment a minute, and a lot of solid Ryan Reynolds comedy. Thanks again to Michael for letting me join you for this screening. And thank you to the fine folks at Nerd Soul. Love you. Check you next time. Peace.
Word up. I got to give a shout out to Mark B. Donica. Thanks so much for hitting me off with some love. And hit me off with your score. I don't even know the score right now as of taping because I'm keeping it a secret to myself. All right. But here is how I feel about the film. With the action, with the first film being so successful that me thinking that it wasn't gonna be able to kind of reach that. Also, the heart that's in this film, there's a lot of like genuine good feelings in this movie, which is weird considering the package that it's wrapped in. But just like in the first film, they sneak some heart in there on you. And it's like, wow, you know what? These characters have learned something. So when you have the action that's crazy, you have the writing that's just funny, the comedy is straight still there, and some ill shots of just action sequences, and just a well-crafted film when, you know, Deadpool is a character that could easily be done horribly. I mean, easily. I gotta go in and give this joint a straight up solid 4 stars. Because is it funny? Yes. Is it well written? Yes. Is it directed well? Do you feel bored during it? No, not at all. It is directed straight on point. And is the action there? Yes, it is. Should you see this in the theater? Yep. I can't wait to see it again because Deadpool is just, it's fun and funny. And it's something that's really good to kind of see, get the summer kicked off. I know they're considering, you know, Marvel the kickoff, but it's April, man. To me, that's not summer yet, man. You gotta just, it just don't really count to me yet. But I love this entry. It's a great solid follow-up and can't wait to see what you think. So holla at me, I'm gonna holla at you. Down in them comments, let's talk about Deadpool. If you've seen it, of course, make sure you put spoiler before your comment because this is spoiler free. But before I bounce, I want to say thanks to Ryan Reynolds for liking the tweet. Thanks for that love. Thanks for Mark B. Donica for rolling with a player. I told y'all when the story ran a while back that there was this movie called Black Klansman. It was based on a true story and it was produced by Jordan Peele and directed by Spike Lee himself. If you don't remember, here's the premise real quick. There's a black officer that answers an ad for the KKK, and he has a white man who is a proxy that actually, you know, acts on his behalf. They infiltrate and you know, to bring the organization down as like terrorist activity. That alone is crazy. But then being able to see that story told on the big screen, in my opinion, is even crazier because this is a story that, one, you're like, what? And then on top of that, you're like, hold up, but we're getting a movie done by who? So the trailer dropped and I'm digging it. I'm digging it. The thing that gets me into it and, you know, pretty much jumps off the trailer is this phone call. And you see the new black officer answering this ad to the KKK. And just how he switches up his voice to be, I think, Ron Stallworth. And just, you know, going through like, I hate black people. I hate Mexicans. I hate Jewish people. I hate everybody. And I only want a white America. It's white power or whatever. And just to see him going through this over the phone and the other officer slowly turning, being like, what? And him honestly pulling this off just shows the passion and believability that he's putting into this case. And of course, you know, he has to be paired with a proxy who is none other than Kylo Ren himself. That's right. Adam Driver is up in this piece and he's a Jewish guy who's a cop who's going to be working on his behalf, you know, to be, you know, kind of like taking the organization down. And we just see these images and this story unfold of what this life was like during this investigation at a very crazy time. And to see how they are probably going to have a lot of friction trying to pull this off. Now, there's some cool stuff I want to get into later, but of course, there's like Black Power rallies, there's Ku Klux Klan burning crosses, all kinds of stuff. But first, Kuro Brand gonna help us pay them bills. Yeah, check that link below. Hat, shirts, hoodies, all that jazz. And once you find something you like, of course, cop it. So back to what I was saying just a second ago, I do want to talk about the relevancy of this. It seems like this movie is coming at a very opportune time because, you know, the streets is just as hot now as they was back then, unfortunately. And to see Adam Driver kind of be positioned in this place where, like they say in the trailer, yo, it's just a job for me, whatever. And he's even faced with, yo, man, you're Jewish. They hate you too. Why are you, you have some skin in this game. Why are you not as, you know, I guess, as passionate or as energetic? And we might see some colorism in my, you know, in my view of this trailer play out a whole lot. Because, you know, essentially Adam Driver is most likely kind of maneuvering his life as a white man in this space. And to see him have to kind of get deeper and deeper down that rabbit hole, how's it going to change him? How's it going to change the other Ron Stallworth that's calling over the phone? You know, there's so much to get into. And I know they play a lot of this for comedy and it's funny in its own strange sad way. And of course, with Spike Lee and Jordan Peele being involved, this is going to have its comedic moments. We even see it in the trailer. But I'm really ready for the weight of the decisions these men are making. Also, I wanted to drop a couple of other lines that were in the trailer about, like, with the right white man, we can do anything, which I think is funny, especially considering the situation we're in now. Yeah, we're all in the same boat. But also the all power line that we get from the young lady when they're in the restaurant. I want to see how that plays out and what exactly they're referring that to, because it does seem like some like all lives matter, but I want to see how it plays out. But the Ball of Confusion song that they played during the trailer couldn't be better placed, in my opinion, because like I said, people always talk about history like it's so long ago and you can't relate because you're old or you can't relate because you're young. Ain't nothing changed, unfortunately. Not much has changed. And hopefully we can learn something at least about history in this moment in time with these two people, this police force and the Ku Klux Klan at that time as well, and how they interacted, what happened, how did the story end? Because this is not only a story that needs to be told, but it's a weird and weirdly interesting story to tell, especially right now. So guys, holla at me, I'ma holla at you. Down in them comments, I know you saw that trailer, so let's talk about Black Klansman, because I have no idea what I'm gonna see when I get in the theater, especially after Get Out, man. Jordan Peele, you just never know. So, of course, I'm out, but before I bounce, I wanna tell you guys to hit up thatnerdsoul.com. That's right, check me out right there, all the videos for the oldest, newest, latest, greatest, and all that. Then hit up shop.thatnerdsoul.com and pick yourself up a t-shirt player. Don't forget to get one for them playettes. Then come back here, like, comment, subscribe, and share that Nerd Soul. That's right, there's no better way that I can show people that you like what you are watching. So, LA, what up? VA, what up? RVA, you got my heart. And please be good to yourselves. Please be good to each other. And remember, there's a whole lot of stuff that ain't changed. So, check out this movie, because it'll be true. But maybe we can laugh at it just a little bit. Peace.